tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And mashallah, we have a beautiful topic of discussion today, the Makkan life of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's inshallah, it is full of wisdom, full of lessons for alhamdulillah for us to learn as his ummah. And mashallah, today I'm joined by our beloved colleague Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Jazakallah Sayyidi, welcome and marhaba to the program. Mashallah. And now, before we begin our topic of discussion, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Sayyidi, this is alhamdulillah such a wonderful topic of discussion, although it is multidimensional, subhanallah. We could discuss the mubarak childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would love to begin there, because alhamdulillah, even as a child, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam proved that what should be human value, what should be our development of refining our character.
Right.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the very childhood, he was firm on his akhlaq, subhanallah. He developed this personality that the Arabs, who were his sworn enemies, they were forced to say that he is as-sadiq al-amin, because they didn't have any choice but to believe in the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his trustworthiness, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his childhood, he would melt the heart of Abu Talib, subhanallah, and he would revere him more than his own children, subhanallah. And if we would go on a journey, let's say for example, he went on this lengthy journey to Syria. He didn't go alone. Right. He wanted to take his beloved nephew with him, subhanallah. And this is when he was told for the first time that this nephew of his, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is destined for greatness.
Allah.
When the monk, he told him, he informed him that I see that the future of this child is bright, subhanallah, and he will be the prophet of Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was created as a prophet, alhamdulillah, and then later on he proclaimed his prophethood. He took those who were trapped in the darkness of kufr, infidelity, disbelief,
right,
ill practices, and he brought them into light, subhanallah. The light of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it illuminated the entire world, that the world now learns from the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If one wants to refine their character, look no further than looking at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnahs. Alhamdulillah, together with that, Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, we would discuss the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that stands as a role model for our youth, our generation to follow. Alhamdulillah, the youth nowadays, they are being carried away by these latest trends and the gadgets and so on and so forth. But if we speak of trends, subhanallah, then we must know that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always trending from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to our time and until the day of judgment, subhanallah. And this is such a trend which will not only bring your worldly life in order, but also our akhirat and hereafter, alhamdulillah. So it has best of both worlds, subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us this beautiful bouquet of sunnah to follow. Why follow any other way right. when there is sunnah to follow? Subhanallah. Sayyidi, mashallah, when it comes to the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that, you know, he would bring those tribes together who were on the verge of fighting.
Right.
And he would bring the hearts together, remove the malice and hatred from each other. Alhamdulillah. And he would bring about this community that is filled with peace and harmony.
Allah. You know, Mahasab, there has been such an incident where in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, avoided a fight to take place between two groups. And what happened in this incident was that everyone, every tribe wanted to place the Hajar-e Aswad into the Kaaba. And so they started arguing about this, that I want to place it, the other tribes said they want to place it. And then there was another person there, a very wise person. And he told them that, let's do this. Whoever is the first to come here tomorrow, that person will decide what to do.
Subhanallah.
And all the tribes, they agreed to this. The next morning, it was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter. He was the first to enter. And all of the tribes, they saw this. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decide? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his shawl mubarak and he told each leader of the tribe to hold the ends of my shawl. And the Hajar-e Aswad was placed on top of it.
Subhanallah.
And together they are all carrying this and going towards the Kaaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes the Hajar-e Aswad and places it into the Kaaba. Look at how beautifully Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam avoided a huge fight to take place.
Subhanallah. And making reference to this, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says about the blessed personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he brought the hearts together. He used to say, Tu barai wasl kardan amdi, ne barai wasl kardan amdi. Ya Rasulullah, you have come to join the hearts, not to separate them. Subhanallah. And this beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still continues.
Yes.
And those of our brothers in the family setting, in a social setting, who want to bring the community together, bring the family together at all cost, they are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and trying to revive this beautiful sunnah, whereas we as families, we as a society, we are, you know, in dribs and drabs, we are all scattered. And people are not generally on talking terms to one another.
Right.
On nitty-gritty things.
Right.
Things of, you know, minor importance. But then, if we look at the bigger picture, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Allahu Akbar, as he practiced, subhanallah, if we bring that akhlaq and incorporate it into our lives, there will be unity in the family.
100%.
There will be unity in the society. There will be unity in the entire town, subhanallah, and as a country as well, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And this extends, subhanallah, this teaching extends, subhanallah. And ultimately, this world would be filled with peace and harmony if we were to practice this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Instead of looking for ways to fight, we look for ways to put a fight to an end, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did.
Yeah.
There was a peace treaty, Sayyidi, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is known as Hilful Fuzul. Hilful Fuzul, it was a peace treaty between different tribes at the time when sacrilegious wars were being fought. And the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, he was a part, integral part of this peace treaty. When the elders of the tribes, they got together, the leaders got together, and their names began with Fadl.
Right.
And therefore, this is named, the treaty itself is named Hilful Fudul after their names. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam partook in this peace treaty, and there were certain clauses to maintain the peace within Makkah Mukarramah. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even today, meaning after migration, he says this, even if today somebody calls out to me and gives me the name of Hilful Fuzul, Ya Ala Hilful Fuzul, I will go out to help them. Subhanallah. This is how peace-loving our beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful kalam, Sayyidi. In the praise of that beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ni'mate baatta jissam tuwo zishan gaya, by none other than our own Rukne Shura, Maulana Abdul Habib Attari, Hafizahullah, Subhanallah. And together with that, there is a beautiful nasiha as well. And it is about the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always fulfilling his promise.
Subhanallah.
And that is by our own Hafiz Kaleem Attari, inshallah Azza wa Jal. We'll go and listen to the kalam and the nasiha until we are back. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, Ya Habiballah, Naimate baatta jis sam wo zeeshaan gaya saath hi munshi rahmat ka kalam daan gaya le khabar jald ke ghairon ki taraf dhyan gaya le khabar jald ke ghairon ki taraf dhyan gaya mere maula mere aqa tere qurban gaya mere maula mere aqa tere qurban gaya naimate baatta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya saath hi munshiye rahmat ka kalam daan gaya aah wo aankh ke naakam tamanna hi rahi aah wo aankh ke naakam tamanna hi rahi haaye wo dil jo tere dar se purar maan gaya haaye wo dil jo tere dar se purar maan gaya naimate baatta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya saath hi munshiye rahmat ka kalam daan gaya dil hai wo dil jo teri yaad se maamoor raha dil hai wo dil jo teri yaad se maamoor raha sar hai wo sar jo tere qadmon pe qurban gaya sar hai wo sar jo tere qadmon pe qurban gaya naimate baatta jis samt مست وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا آج لے ان کی پناہ آج مدد مانگن سے آج لے ان کی پناہ آج مدد مانگن سے پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت بے اگر مان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا جانو دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے جانو دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا راتو سامان گیا تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا راتو سامان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا یا رسول اللہ یا حبیب اللہ
سیدنا طارق بن عبداللہ رضی اللہ عنہ He narrates, We came to المدینة المنورہ. We saw a person who was wearing two cloaks, two pieces of cloth, two cloaks. He gave salam to us and he asked, Where are you intending to go? We said, المدینة. He asked, what is the purpose of you coming here? We said, we have come to obtain the dates of this land. And he mentioned how they have one animal as a ride one camel, and they have a rein. They placed a rein around that camel as well. And they also mentioned that they have another camel, a red camel. That person said, will you sell this red camel? Sayyiduna Tariq bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, we will sell it, but only in exchange for this amount of dates. So he mentioned an amount of dates. The person who inquired, that person did not ask for a reduction in the price, didn't bargain. He took the camel by the reins and left. When he disappeared, Sayyiduna Tariq bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, we began to say to one another, what have we just done? We've given the camel over, but we haven't received payment. He's an unknown person. We don't know him. We're not acquainted with him. He's taken the animal. He hasn't paid us. And he says, that's when a woman was part of the group, the qafila. She says, why are you rebuking one another? By Allah, a person with such an appearance cannot deceive you. This is what she said. He will not deceive you. I saw his face. It was brighter than the moon on the 14th night. I am a guarantor for the price that he was supposed to pay for the camel. He says, I guarantee to give you that price, whatever happens. Whilst we were conversing, the narrator Sayyidina Tariq bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, whilst we were conversing, a person came and he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me and these dates belong to you. Meaning a person was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with those dates that were agreed. Subhanallah. Eat to your fill. This is what the person was sent by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Eat to your fill. And once you've ate to your fill, that's when you are to weigh them and take as much as was agreed. Allahu Akbar Kabira. What does this mean? That when you eat to your fill, that's not part of the agreement. That's just the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever extra that you've ate, you will not be accountable for that. Once you've all ate to your fill, take how much was agreed and you may continue. Meaning this was the generosity of the Prophet alayhi salam. He gave more than the amount that was promised, initially promised. This is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We are his ummah. We have to follow him in this regard. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fulfill his oath, would fulfill his promises. Subhanallah. This is a beautiful example of that as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to fulfill our promises for the sake of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Welcome back, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, we are back now from the beautiful kalam. We are listening to this kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together with the kalam, we have listened to a beautiful nasiha as to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fulfill his promise. Subhanallah.
That's so important, Mawlana Sahib. One should always be fulfilling the promises they make.
Yes.
And not, leaving it empty. You make a promise and then you end up sometimes even fulfilling your promise purposely. Some people do that as well. Purposely they break their promise. But here the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something else. We also need to keep up to what we say to other people. Because, by doing that, one actually gains that person's closeness. One gains their trust. The moment you break a promise, then the trust is gone. Because how can I trust this person now? He told me something, but then he never ended up doing it for me. How can I trust him with anything? So it is very important that we also, when we make promises, we should, keep up to it.
A person loses credibility.
100%. Their value is gone.
Yes. Oh, he is known for, making his promises and so on. Yes. Empty promises. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us such that we promise something and we fail to fulfill it. We shouldn't make fake promises, false promises, even to the children.
That is so true.
It affects them negatively. But then they start to lose this connection with you.
Right.
Oh, he makes promises like that but never ever fulfills. Sometimes just to put children at ease.
Make them happy.
Yes, I'll buy you toys. Yes. Right? And that doesn't happen. Yes, I'll get you an ice cream. Just to keep their heart, right?
Yeah.
And a person doesn't end up fulfilling that promise. So the little things that we do, that becomes a habit. And that's how a person gets into the habit of making promises and not fulfilling them.
And that's the age where children, you know, they are very observant.
Yes, and what are we teaching them? That if you make a promise, you don't have to fulfill it.
Yes.
You can walk scot-free.
Not only of what we say to them, but how are our actions, what are our actions teaching them? This is also very important. And by, you know, at that young age, if you can't get it, then tell them that, you know what, I can't get it. Because from a young age, they will, you know, develop this mindset of that, you know what, I have to be patient. And that my father or my mother, they don't, they're not breaking their promises. They're always keeping up to it. Why and how? Because when they can afford it, then they would do it.
Yes.
And when they can't, then they would explain lovingly to the child that I cannot get it for you now. And when this child grows up, he would be understanding towards others as well.
Subhanallah, definitely. Sayyidi, speaking of the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and mashallah, how uniquely refined was his character.
Allah,
he is the pinnacle of character building, subhanallah. If we were to look for an example, 100%. He is the best example, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran. We, alhamdulillah, find the best example, best role model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And especially his Makkan life.
Yes.
Even the enemies, sworn enemies, they would bear testimony of his truthfulness, subhanallah,
Allah.
And his trustworthiness. And these are the two qualities that we seem to have lost it.
And they would even, you know, keep their belongings with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Although they were his enemies.
Yes.
They were not on his religion. But they still trusted him. Allahu Akbar. So as a believer, as a Muslim, it doesn't befit us to cheat on someone, to rob somebody,
yes,
to steal from someone, to speak words of lies to someone. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim is not such. You know, in the olden days, in the time of Sahaba, it was unimaginable that a Sahabi would say a lie, or a Muslim rather, they were all Muslims, alhamdulillah, that a Muslim would tell a lie. And nowadays, we can't say the same. So we have tarnished our own reputation.
Absolutely.
And if we adhere to this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his character, subhanallah, then yes, we can still have our glory back.
No, Masab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 53 years of his life in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And it was in Makkah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to preach Islam.
Yes.
And in that period, you know, there were so many difficulties that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. So much of pain and insult that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. Like the enemies would call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a magician, ma'azallah, a fortune teller, a liar, a madman. All of these they would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what kind of a religion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bringing now. They did not believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to stop Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from preaching, they would place hurdles in the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would, you know, put thorns in his pathway. They would throw the intestines of the animal upon the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine all of this is happening to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at his character.
Subhanallah.
His character is something that, you know, words even does not do justice. The character and the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he still remained steadfast and continued to preach the religion of Islam. Despite whatever was happening to him, he did not give up. And these are, you know, very important lessons that we can take, you know, especially in the Makkan life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that despite all the difficulties, all the obstacles, all the hurdles, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give up. So today, when we are calling others towards this beautiful deen of Islam, when we are calling others towards goodness, towards righteousness, then no matter what insult we may hear from them, no matter if they degrade us, if they hurt us, we still should not give up spreading this beautiful deen of Islam. And this is something we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah. He had stones thrown at him, but in turn he would make dua for them. Subhanallah. Allah. And this is the character we need to adopt, Sayyidi. You know, when it comes to the propagation of Islam by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so for the first 3 years,
right,
from the age of 40 when he proclaimed prophethood, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to fulfill the obligation of Islamic preaching very secretly.
Achcha.
And it was done in confidence. I mean, there was a fear of this persecution from the kuffar.
Right.
But, and during this period, who embraced Islam, subhanAllah? Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar.
And among the women, the first to embrace Islam. The first to embrace Islam among free men was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The first to embrace Islam among children was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
And the first to embrace Islam among slaves was Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala.
Allah.
SubhanAllah, these were the first Muslims, subhanAllah. And then later on, Sayyidi, shortly afterwards, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam, Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in also embraced Islam by virtue of preaching made by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that pillar of Islam who stood side by side with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and aided him in the propagation of Islam.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. He was his companion, his friend from the beginning to the end, subhanallah. And he's such a close friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a close companion, that even after his demise, he didn't want to be separated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made a will that when I pass away, take my janaza in front of the Rawda Mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seek permission first.
Seek permission.
If the permission is granted, then bury me next to my beloved. And if the permission is not granted, then you can bury me in Jannatul Baqi. Subhanallah.
Allah.
And this was the will made by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And what happened? When the janaza was taken, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from inside, the voice was heard, you know, that let the friend unite with the friend.
Allah,
subhanallah,
Allah.
Subhanallah. And this is how his devotion brought him to fruition, subhanallah. In this dunya and in the world of barzakh. And on the day of judgment, when they will the people will be resurrected, the first to be resurrected will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And holding his hand will be his two khalifa, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, subhanallah. And Sayyidi, in Makkah Mukarramah, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam secretly was preaching Islam, and then there came a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to propagate Islam to his close relatives.
Right.
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and O beloved, warn your closest relatives. Allahu Akbar. And hence, one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while standing on the peak of Mount Safa, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out the people of Quraysh, saying, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, after all of them gathered, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my nation, if I say to you that an army is hiding behind this mountain and is going to attack you, will you believe me? All of them replied, in unison, they said, yes, we definitely believe in you. And then we will definitely believe you because you have always spoken the truth and you are trustworthy. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, I warn you of the divine retribution. If you do not believe in Islam, you will be given the divine retribution When they listened to this, all the people of the Quraysh, including Abu Lahab, he ridiculed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was the paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He became extremely angry and went away talking nonsense. Allahu Akbar. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed curse upon him. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Allahu Akbar. And thereafter, there came a time when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala started preaching Islam by the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day he sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to do the propagation of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him. So the first person to deliver the sermon of Islam after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he had to pay dearly for daring to have delivered this discourse in front of people.
Right.
And people didn't take kindly to it. And they had beaten Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala severely to an extent that he passed out.
Allahu Akbar.
And when he fell unconscious, he was badly injured. People took him for treatment. He was actually so hurt that he could have lost his life.
Allahu Akbar.
And then when he regains his consciousness, what is the first thing that he asks? Instead of worrying about himself, he is so badly injured. The first thing he asked her, how is my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allahu Akbar. He's not worried about himself, and he won't rest until he finds out if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is okay.
Allah.
And Sayyidi, after that, then during the fourth year of declaration of prophethood, the ayah was revealed, subhanallah, fasdah bima tu'mar, meaning, therefore publicly announce what you are commanded. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began preaching Islam publicly, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
Hence, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started preaching Islam in public, and he started condemning the polytheism and idol worshipping. As a result, the entire Arabia, including all the people of Quraysh and Makkah, opposed him, causing harm to him and to Muslims permanently.
Allah, Allah.
So much so that there came a time when they would hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically. It came to that. First, they started taunting, insulting him verbally, then emotionally, then physically. To an extent that they exiled him, Allahu Akbar. They boycotted him and his family, Banu Hashim. Not only him, but his family as well. For 3 consecutive years in Shaybi Abi Talib, in the valley of Abi Talib, they were forced to stay there. It was a socio-economic boycott. Nobody would do business with them. Nobody would marry in their family. Nobody would bring food for them. Nothing. Everything was cut off for them. And even in that phase, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam persevered. Through all of this, it came to a point in Shaybi Abi Talib that they were sometimes forced to eat the leaves. Sometimes they were forced to boil the dried skin of the animal. And they would survive on that. Allahu Akbar. Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, he was by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was so patient, Allahu Akbar. And she would provide a moral support to her beloved father, subhanallah. And then the other family members were also there. And this is what they had to go through to bring this Islam to us. As we have, alhamdulillah, we are in our own comfort zone. Yes. And we still find it difficult to practice our Islam. We must think twice how it has reached us.
Yes.
Subhanallah, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, Ammar bin Yasir, Sayyidina Yasir, Ali Yasir, Sayyidina Yasir's wife, Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the other companions, what they had to go through. Sayyidina Khabbab bin Arat, he was persecuted so badly for having embraced Islam, Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
He says that, you know, back in the day, they would torture me. They would make me lie by my back, and they will place my back against the burning coal. And then it would burn my skin and through the flesh, and then the fluid from the flesh would then extinguish that fire. And by the time I would be passed out, I would be unconscious for hours. I would be left there unconscious. And the very first thing after I used to regain my consciousness, the very first thing I used to utter is kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were the slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true companions, the true devotees of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to follow these examples.
100%.
If you want to know how to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look no further than the Sahaba.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And you know, Munasab, speaking of the Meccan life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there has been mu'ajizat that happened in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah as well. For instance, the Mi'raj, the journey that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took right up to, you know, the seven heavens and beyond. The Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also happened in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned what had happened. And Abu Jahl, he denied this. Wow. Abu Jahl denied this, and he said that, how is it possible, you know, for you to go from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Bayt al-Muqaddis, and from Bayt al-Muqaddis to the seven heavens and beyond? He did not believe this. And so he went to the best friend of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he asked him that, oh Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, did you hear what your friend is saying? And Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, what is he saying? And then Abu Jahl mentioned whatever he has heard. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that if he is saying this, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, then I believe in it because it is the truth. Allahu Akbar. And it was at this moment where Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu got titled with the title of as-Siddiq, the most truthful, because of, you know, believing in the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah Sayyidi. Yes, there is a reason why somebody is given titles, and it is not given for no reason. Right. There is always a reason, there is always a background. Subhanallah. There is always something that is in the background with which we may not know at times.
Jee.
Let's say, for example, the shair says, Lazzat sozish Bilal, shauq shahadat Hussein, jisne liya yun hi liya apna khitab rit par. Subhanallah. What was common between Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu? They both offered their sacrifices on sand. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So yes, their titles, that's how they gained their titles. Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, speaking of him, how he was persecuted, Umayyah bin Khalaf, he would drag him in the scorching heat of Arabia on the burning sand, and then he would place a large stone on his chest, and he would want him to give up on the deen of Islam. But still Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would echo the sound of Al-Ahad, Al-Ahad, Alhamdulillah, which is remembered even until today. And it will be remembered until the Day of Judgment.
And you know, Munasab, all that they went through, all the difficulties and pain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, that the Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan went through, we learn one very important thing. And that is, they did not give up. No matter whatever the pain was, whatever the difficulty was, however intense it was, but still they did not give up. They were always steadfast. They had patience, you know. So these are so many beautiful and important lessons for us to take, that if we are going through any difficulties, if we are going through any struggles in life, if we are going through difficulties in preaching the beautiful deen of Islam, then we should learn not to give up. We should always, you know, persevere. We should always be getting up and moving forward. Because by doing that, one would eventually see, sooner or later, one would see the barakah, the blessings and success in doing that. By not giving up on that which is haq, on that which is true.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, and that is what we need to have. Patience, steadfastness and perseverance. And steadfastness on what? On iman, subhanallah. On this faith that we have been alhamdulillah bestowed with, that we have been blessed with. This is the most prized possession of a believer. Imagine what it costed the Sahaba to have this faith.
Allah.
We will not be in that terrible state, because they have offered their sacrifices so we could have Islam today.
And you know, Musab, they are our heroes, our real heroes. They are our role models. They are our shining stars. And that is why we must follow them. Because who is better to take than those who were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who followed each and every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan. We need to take them as our role models. Look at how they would preach Islam. Look at how their conduct would be. And by reading about their life, about their biographies, we will also gain a yearning to implement that as well.
Inshallah, definitely.
Automatically, the patience they had, we would also desire to have that patience. You know, the being steadfastness, the steadfastness that they had, we would also be desiring to be steadfast no matter what.
Sayyidi, our psyche as humans is such that sometimes when we are tested in certain ways, we look for a point of reference.
Right.
And what better reference to have than the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Or we are going through this. This seems nothing compared to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through. And he still persevered through all of it. Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went through it and he persevered through all of that. And there was a point, Sayyidi, where the kuffar, the disbelievers, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would come and bargain with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried to dissuade him, you know, talk him out of it.
Right.
They would say that, what do you want to gain from the preaching of Islam? Do you want to become the chief of Makkah? Or you want desire, fame and fortune? You want to marry a certain woman? All, we can give it all to you. Just stop this preaching of Islam. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something so remarkable, that iman is not negotiable. Allahu Akbar. He said that even if you give the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I would still not stop preaching Islam.
Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And that should be our aim and that should be our enthusiasm, inshallah. In our Dawat Islami, Sayyidi, we have this beautiful department, Welcome to Islam campaign.
MashaAllah.
Subhanallah. Welcome to Islam. And it is spreading its fragrance in all corners of the world. Even South Africa, mashallah. Yeah. So many people are embracing Islam, subhanallah. In Malawi, so many people are embracing Islam. In Malawi, the number is actually in thousands. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. On a on a daily, monthly, weekly basis.
Right.
A lot of people are embracing Islam every day. Allahu Akbar. Throughout the world, in Europe, in America, in different parts of the world, subhanallah, people are embracing Islam through this beautiful Welcome to Islam campaign.
And for that, Munasab, effort must be done.
Yes.
You know, effort in the sense that way you should go out and call others towards this beautiful deen of Islam, call others towards righteousness. And in order to do that, one also needs to have, you know, the essential knowledge, the fard knowledge, that which is compulsory upon a person. So a person should also seek knowledge, and with that knowledge, a person must now spread it to others, teach it to others, because whatever we learn, it's not for us to keep in, but rather we need to spread it out and educate others as well, because we need to give others a boost. We need to motivate them, giving them the tarbiyah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan. By us doing this, then we will definitely see a difference in our community, in our communities. You would see everyone being united. But first, effort is the key, and effort is that which must be done.
Subhanallah, Sidi. All of this should strengthen our iman, should strengthen our faith. This Makkan life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, we haven't covered everything, but there is so much to learn, subhanallah. And if you are really, truly motivated, then pick up the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and start reading. And you would come across such fascinating facts about the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his proclamation of prophethood, his propagation of Islam, his struggle, subhanallah, his beauty of character, the Sahaba alayhimur ridwan, and their sacrifices, subhanallah. There is so much to learn. And truly, we are Muslims. Shouldn't make us curious, Sayyidi, that, you know, I am Muslim. 100%. I must know how this kalima has reached me.
Yes.
Subhanallah. It wasn't so easy. And then go back to the origin and find out that, you know what, this is how, these were the sacrifices. And then only we know the value of the iman that we have.
Absolutely, Munsab.
Then only we know the value of loving the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more. Why? Because now we know what he did for us, what sacrifices he went through for our sake. He was born remembering us. Allah, Rabbi Habli Ummati, subhanallah. Throughout his life, he made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi Habli Ummati. Even on the day of judgment, he will make intercession for us, and he'll say, and he will not raise his head from sajda until he knows each and every ummati of his, subhanallah, who believed in him, is taken to Jannah. And this is the sacrifices of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah, Sayyidi, for, mashallah, giving time and participating in today's program and silsila. Inshallah, azza wa jal. Until then, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.